From Healesville to Warburton, from Seville to Hoddles Creek, this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Good morning, I'm David Oaten. It's my pleasure this morning to be hosting a special Anzac Day service to commemorate this special day in these days of social isolation. So welcome to the show, and it's my absolute honour to introduce you this morning to our MC, Steve Shortis, President of Yarra Glen RSL. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, David. Hello, everyone. As the sun rose on the 25th of April 1915, Australian and New Zealand soldiers landed on the shores of Gallipoli in what was anticipated to be a quick military strike against Turkish forces. Instead, it escalated into an eight-month battle where more than 8,700 Australian soldiers lost their lives and another 19,441 were wounded. This first major military action fought by Australian forces during World War I sent shockwaves through Australian society that are still felt today. As the sun rises every Anzac Day, hundreds of thousands of Australians gather across the nation to remember their legacy and the legacy of all those who have followed their example. Today's Anzac Day ceremony is brought to you on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 as a result of the extraordinary circumstances that exist today due to the coronavirus and our inability to hold our normal community service in front of our cenotaph in Yarra Glen. We wanted to still involve the community as much as possible and keep alive the tradition of honouring all those brave men and women who have served this country and New Zealand in the many conflicts we have endured. If you wish, you can at some time during the day lay your own private floral tribute as you would on any Anzac Day. Please be sure to maintain a prudent distance from any others at the cenotaph and have no more than one or two to lay your tribute. Thank you for tuning in. Our service today will follow as far as possible our normal community service, except that because of the isolation restrictions placed on us by the COVID-19 virus requirements, I will be the sole presenter, ably assisted by my program manager, David Oaten, who is located in another studio and is a regular presenter on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We have taped presentations from our Secretary-Treasurer, Ed Bartosz, and Rosemary, the wife of our former president, Ted Bowling. We will have the ode and the last post and revelry, and instead of our local primary school students, who are normally an important and valued part of our service, we will play some music that is closely associated with the three major conflicts in which Australian servicemen and women have been involved: World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War, whilst also remembering the many conflicts in which Australia and New Zealand have taken part: the Korean War, the Malaysian Emergency, the Indonesian Confrontation, the Gulf War, and the three present theatres of war: Afghanistan, Iraq, and our peacekeepers who have been serving this country since 1947. Our first presentation is a letter from the front. Our past president, Ted Bowling, joined the Royal Australian Air Force in September 1949 at the age of 17 and served in the RAF for nearly 30 years. In the early 1950s, he was posted to Woomera during the atomic bomb tests, and in 1965 served 2.5 years at Butterworth in Malaysia during the Vietnam War. After leaving the RAAF in 1979, Ted worked for the Department of Defence at Broadmeadows until retirement in 1997. Ted's wife Rosemary will now read excerpts from a letter from the front.
A letter from World War I soldier Walter George Parker, but survived to return to his loving wife and two little girls whom he cherished. On active service, December 31, 1916. Dear Myrtle, today I received a letter from you and was very pleased to get it. It took such a long time to reach me, nearly 3 months. I am so pleased to hear you are learning to write, and then, as you say, you'll be able to write to me every day. By the time this reaches you, it will be very near your birthday, so I will now wish you very many happy returns of the day. I wish I could be home. Then we could go for a picnic somewhere. You may be sure I will be home as soon as I possibly can. I miss my two little girlies such a lot. I saw Uncle Frank today. He had just come back from London, where he'd been on leave. He'd had such a jolly time while there. Over here, where we are now, there are no little girls and boys. Nothing except soldiers, horses and mules. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. No shops, no women. The roads are covered with mud over the tops of our boots. There are no green trees like there are at Sylvan. All the trees are bare of leaves, and nearly all of them are dead already. All the poor horses and mules are covered with mud. I think they must be very uncomfortable and cold, don't you? Today is Sunday, and we are going to church soon in a hut. Sometimes it is held in old barns, in orchards, and often out in a paddock. Over here, all the soldiers wear such funny round iron hats. If you ask Mother, she will show you a picture of them in the papers. There are such big guns over here, and they make such a noise when they go off. Sometimes they are on the go all day and night, hundreds of them all over the place. Sometimes the poor horses and mules get stuck in the mud with their loads, and they have such a job to get out again. Over here, we sleep in bow huts, about 30 men in each hut. And one day, while we were at work, a shell came over and blew one of them to pieces. There were 5 men in the hut, but they were very lucky, as not one of them was hurt. There are such a lot of flying machines over here. We often see as many as 30 or 40 in the air at a time. Then they have balloons that go up 300 or 400 feet in the air, with 2 men in a basket. The balloons are tied to the ground with very strong wire rope. The men in the baskets are called observers, and they have field glasses and telescopes, and with these they can see a long way. There is a picture of one on the Christmas card I sent to Mother. The soldiers call these balloons sausages from the shape of them. With love and kisses to Mother, and heaps to my dear little girlies, from your ever-loving father.
Thank you. Our first musical tribute, A Song for Grace, was written by that well-known Australian Ted Egan. Ted's mother, Grace Brennan, had 3 brothers who volunteered to join the Australian Light Horse in 1914. Jack Brennan was killed at Gallipoli. Bob Brennan served 3 years straight in the horror of the Western Front. Martin Brennan went to the Middle East after Gallipoli, engaged in many conflicts, was briefly a prisoner of war, escaped, and rejoined his regiment. Ted wrote Song for Grace to record word for word the story his mother told him when he was 12. She was the most anti-war person he has ever known. The song is sung by Ted's domestic partner, Neera Sevens.
I was a girl of 13 when my 3 brothers went to the war. Martin and Robert and Jack, and as I waved from the door, I thought, who in the world could have brothers as handsome as they? 3 Australian light horsemen, I see their proud figures today. Our parents were Irish, with no love for England at all. But their sons were Australians, and each bravely answered the call. In they turned up slouch hats, and their feathers and leggings and spurs. The Empire, as much as my mother knew these sons were hers. And at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, lest we forget. The mailman brought cards from Colombo and then from Portside. Here's a photo of Jack in Egypt, his first camel ride. And look at young Bobby in London, here crossing the Strand. And Martin writes, Mum and Dad, life in the army is grand. The same mailman brought us the news about our darling Jack. Regret to inform you, your son John will never come back. He died of his wounds at Gallipoli, so brave was he. He's awarded the military medal posthumously. And at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them, lest we forget. Telegram came, my mother collapsed, and I had the terrible task of breaking the news to my dad. With our old draft horse Punch, my father was ploughing the land. I ran to the paddock, the telegram clutched in my hand. The Irishman read it, said, thank you, now leave me alone. Go on back to the house, help your mother, she's there on her own. He called, stand up Punch, we have to get on with this job. But I saw his slumped shoulders, and I heard his heart-rending sob. And at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them, lest we forget. Well, Robert was gassed, and he always had pains in his head. And Martin was shell-shocked, and he'd have been better off dead. And I'm just an old lady who watched them all go. But I am the one you should ask about war, for I know that all of these years have gone by, and I know the grief yet. Yes, I will remember them, I can't forget. And at the going down of the sun, and in the morning,
Dr. John McCrae wrote his famous poem In Flanders Fields on the evening of the 2nd of May 1915, in the second week of fighting during the Second Battle of Ypres. John McCrae was serving as a major and a military doctor and was second in command of the 1st Brigade Canadian Field Artillery. It is believed that the death of his friend Alexis Helmer was the inspiration for McCrae's poem. Dr. John McCrae died of his wounds on the 28th of January 1918. This poem would normally be read by one of our local school children, but is today read by Anthony Davies.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Our second musical tribute is We'll Meet Again. This was a song released in 1939 and sung by the Force's sweetheart, singer Vera Lynn, who is now Dame Vera Lynn and is still alive at the age of 103. The nostalgic lyrics were very popular during the war and made the song one of the most popular hits of that era.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Ed Bartosz is a retired Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army. He served as a preventative medicine staff officer through a 22-year active career, serving in Germany, Korea, and the United States. He moved to Australia with his wife, Betty Taylor, in 2004, has been an RSL member since 2005, and a terrific secretary of the Yarra Glen sub-branch since 2007. Ed will now present our second poem.
This is a poem by D. Hunter, a veteran of Shaggy Ridge with the 2nd of the 12th Battalion in World War II. I saw a kid a-marching with medals on his chest. He marched alongside diggers, marching six abreast. He knew it was Anzac Day. He marched along with pride, and he did his best to keep in step with diggers by his side. And when the march was over and the kid was rather tired, a digger said, "Whose medal, son?" To which the kid replied, "They belong to my dad, but he did not come back. He died up in New Guinea on a lonely jungle track." The kid looked rather sad, then a tear came to his eye. The digger said, "Don't cry, my son, and I will tell you why. Your dad marched with us today all the bloomin' way. Diggers know that he was there. It's like that on Anzac Day." The kid looked rather puzzled and didn't understand. The digger went on talking and started to wave his hand. "For this great land we live in, there's a price we have to pay. And for this thing called freedom, the diggers had to pay. For we all love fun and merriment in this country where we live. The price was that some soldier his precious life must give. For you to go to school, me lad, and worship God at will, someone had to pay the price, so diggers paid the bill. Your dad died for us, my son, for all things good and true. I wonder, do you understand the things I've said to you?" The kid looked up at the digger just for a little while, and with a changed expression said, with a lovely smile, "I know my dad marched here today, this our Anzac Day. I know he did. I know he did, all the bloomin' way, lest we forget."
Thank you, Ed. Can I now ask all those who are able to please stand for the ode? "They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them."
Thank you.
lest we forget. The death of a soldier often affected more than one community in Australia, and we find that this is so for many of the servicemen listed on the Yarra Glen District Memorials. Yarra Glen Historical Society, which is now part of our Living and Learning Centre, provided me with these World War I profiles. Stan Clark grew up and went to school in Druin West, but is listed on the Yarra Glen and Dixon's Creek Honour Boards because of strong family links with the area. His mother was Harriet Ayres, whose parents and brothers lived in Dixon's Creek in the late 1800s. Several of Harriet's nieces and nephews attended the Dixon's Creek School, so it is quite possible that Stan visited aunts and uncles and their families in this district from time to time. Fluctuations in the economies of farming and the timber industry caused the Clark and Ayres families to move to and from Dixon's Creek and central Gippsland. Members of the Ayres family continue to live in the Yarra Glen district today. Stan Clark was a 22-year-old labourer when he enlisted from Druin on the 20th of June 1915. He was a small man by current standards, but average for the time, just over 5'4" tall and 123 pounds, or about 55 to 56 kilograms. He had black hair, brown eyes and a florid complexion. He embarked from Melbourne in November 1915, but just 7 months later, he was officially reported missing in action at the Battle of Fromelles on the 19th of July 1916. This was the first major battle fought by Australian troops on the Western Front. The 5th Division, which undertook the attack, was a mixture of Gallipoli veterans and newly trained reinforcements, Stan being one of the latter. The attack was meant to serve as a ploy to hold back German reserves from the Somme, where the primary Allied offensive had commenced on the 1st of July. The Australian 5th Division was up against a very strong and experienced German contingent. There were 5,533 Australian casualties, the worst 24 hours in Australian military history. For many months, families did not know the real fate of their soldier. A commission of inquiry was held 1 year later on the field, in August 1917. It pronounced the names of those who had been killed in action on the 19th of July 16, including Stan Clark, aged 23. Walter Gammon and his brother George were farming together at Long Gully when they decided to enlist. 6 months after leaving Australia, Walter was killed in action on the Somme on the 11th of March 1917. The memorial service was held on the 22nd of April 1917 for Walter in Beechworth, where he was born and where his parents had once been well-known and respected residents. On the 26th of August, another service was held at the Tarawarra Church, where Walter had been an officer of the church for 21 years. A brass wall tablet was unveiled in his honour. Walter is also remembered on several war memorials in Kew, where his parents spent their last years. Prior to enlisting, Walter, 41, and George, 38, were farming together at Long Gully. Walter was engaged to be married to Cecily Dennis, also of Long Gully. In January, the men, according to the Healesville Guardian, made the sacrifice of selling up their stock and letting the farm. The land they were on they had cleared and improved by their own labour, and it was a real thing for them to relinquish what had taken years of toil to effect. Walter's brother George also served overseas from August 16 until October 1917 and returned safely to Australia. Cecily Dennis continued to live at Long Gully and was active in the Tarawarra and Healesville communities, but never married. The Gammons were also close friends of another local farmer, Charles Chandler, 34, of Tarawarra, who who enlisted shortly after the Gammons in February 1916. Charles was killed just 2 days after Walter Gammon, also in action on the Somme, on 13th of March 1917. The MacLeod brothers. Alexander and Leslie were two of three sons of Alexander and Elizabeth MacLeod. Alexander Sr. was a police officer stationed at Yarra Glen for several years prior to 1914. Alexander enlisted in January 15 and Leslie in July 1915. Alexander was killed in action on the 16th of August 1915 at Gallipoli. His brother was at that time sailing on the HMAT Kyara from Melbourne when he became ill. Leslie died at Fremantle on the 29th of August 1915. 28 years later, the younger son enlisted in World War II and served with the 2nd 33rd Australian Infantry Battalion. He died in an aircraft crash in New Guinea in 1943. The three brothers are commemorated in a stained glass window in St Paul's Anglican Church in Yarra Glen. John Schumann wrote Australia's iconic Vietnam song based on the experience of his brother-in-law, Mick Sorin, and another Vietnam veteran, Frankie Hunt, Red Gum, with I Was Only 19.
Mum and Dad and Denny saw the passing out parade at Puckapunyal. It was a long march from cadets. 6th Battalion was the next to turn. It was me who drew the card. We did Canungra and Shoalwater before we left. And Townsville lined the footpaths as we marched down to the quay. This clipping from the paper shows us young and strong and clean. And there's me in me slouch hat with me SLR and greens. God help me. I was only 19. From Vung Tau riding Chinooks to the dust at Nui Dat, I'd been in and out of choppers now for months. We made our tents a home, VB and pin-ups on the lockers, and an Asian orange sunset through the scrub. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? And night time's just a jungle dark and a barking M16. And what's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me. I was only 19. Four-week operation, when each step could mean your last one on two legs. It was a war within yourself. You wouldn't let your mates down till they had you dusted off. So you closed your eyes and thought about something else. And then someone yelled out, contact! And the bloke behind me swore. We hooked in there for hours, then it got almighty raw. And Frankie kicked to mine the day that mankind kicked the moon. God help me. Going home in June. I can still see Frankie drinking tinnies in the Grand Hotel on a 36-hour rec leave in Vung Tau. I can still see Frankie lying screaming in the jungle till the morphine came and killed the bloody row. And the Anzac legends didn't mention mud and blood and tears, and the stories that my father told me never seemed quite real.
I caught some pieces in my back that I didn't even feel. God help me, I was only 19. And can you tell me, doctor, why I still can't get to sleep? And why the Channel 7 chopper chills me to my feet? And what's this rash that comes and goes? Can you tell me what it means? God help me, I was only 19.
I thought that some comment should be made about the current crisis that is gripping us all. Some friends have likened it to a war, but I believe it is even bigger than that, because it involves not only our frontline troops, but all of us. It is an unseen enemy that will attack all of us, if not stopped. It does require us to display the Anzac spirit that was evident throughout our numerous military skirmishes. But it also requires a spirit that was evident on the home front during these times. I have defined some of the aspects of this Anzac spirit required in this current crisis in four qualities. Discipline. We have all been given orders or directions that we haven't liked or agreed with, but we know the importance of following these orders for the benefit of those around us, and so we do. Diligence. These orders or directions need to be followed to the best of our ability every single time. Imagine if one of our frontline troops, the emergency workers, didn't sanitise properly even once during the day, or did not manage his or her PPE properly every single time. Compassion. Look after your mates. Look out for your family and friends. Look out for your neighbours and those you know are going through hard times. My wife Jean has developed a regime of ringing a different friend and a family member every day. Perhaps you can adopt a similar protocol. And most of all, patience. Many a great battle has been won by outlasting the enemy. We have been living with ever worsening conditions for a couple of months now, and there may be light at the end of the tunnel. But World War I lasted 4 years, and World War II 6. I spoke earlier of the fate of Stan Clark, whose family did not know for sure what had happened to him for 13 months after he was killed. We are asked to display the Anzac spirit for some period yet, but we can do it, because we know this crisis will one day be over, and we will win. Thank you. Now, could I ask again to stand for the national anthems of New Zealand and Australia?
God of nations, at thy feet, in the bonds of love we meet, hear our voices. We entreat, God defend our free land. God Pacific's triple star, from the shafts of strife and war, make her praises heard afar. God defend you, land, men of every creed and race, gather here before thy face, asking thee to bless this place. God defend our free land from dissension, envy, and corruption, God, our state. Make our country good and
God defend New Zealand.
Australians, all let us rejoice, for we are young and free. We golden soil and wealth for toil.
Thank you all for tuning in to our Anzac Day ceremony today. We hope that it helped you remember the sacrifices that many made for Australia and makes you determined to keep this special day in the minds of all Australians. There are many people I would like to thank. The committee and members of the Yarra Glen RSL sub-branch for their willingness to be involved. The management and presenters of Yarra Valley Radio for their enthusiastic support of the project. No doubt they would appreciate a message of support on their website and even a small donation for their community effort. David Eaton, in particular, for all his help and assistance today. Yarra Glen Historical Society, and in particular, Helen Mann, for the profiles of our local soldiers. Ed Bartosz and Rosemary Bowling, for their presentations. And finally, my wife Jean for sourcing and recording all the music. As I am not constrained by time today, I have indulged in a little nostalgia that I will now share with those who wish to remain tuned in. For everyone else, thanks for being part of our Anzac Day presentation. My name is Stephen Shortus, and I have the honour of being President of the Yarra Glen RSL sub-branch. I spent most of 1969 in Nui Dat in Vietnam. I don't know about many of the other boozers located throughout the task force at Saigon and Vung Tau, but at my boozer, the Animals' 1965 hit was on high rotation, and the chorus in particular was sung with great feeling. This was particularly true on the nights that one of the diggers had finished his tour of duty and was flying out the next day. So, to Frog, Jacko, Juki, Spacky, Jake, Cole, Franco, Lee, Neil, Robert, Brian, Des, Milton, Suley, and Peters 1 and 2, and especially to Kerry and Linda, in memory of our great mates Terry Hyde and Bill Huntley, and Cole's wife Barbara. Sing along, everyone, please. And some good news, the 2 cans per man per day limit no longer applies. Not that it was very effective anyway. I think that it's possible a 2-can limit per soldier was broken on some of these occasions.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due, I know. Watch my daddy in bed and crying, watch his hand been turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away. Oh yes, I know. He's been working so hard,
And one thing I know is true, yeah, you'll be dead before your time is due. Know it. Watch my daddy in bed at time. Watch his hair been turning gray. Yeah. He's been working and slaving his life away. I know he's been working so hard. Yeah. I've been working too, baby. Yeah. Every day, baby.
Thank you, everyone. I look forward to seeing you all in Yarra Glen in August 2021, Vietnam Veterans Day. Take care and look after everyone. Goodbye.
Playing in the Yarra Valley, the home of Yarra Valley FM 99.1. the voice of the valley.